Amen. I think the singing has been awesome today, as always. And I just want to ask everybody to show appreciation to our song leaders for inspiring us every Sunday. Thank you. They get here about 9 o'clock sometimes, so I take my hat off to them. Thank you. If you are visiting with us today, we want to say a big welcome to you for joining us, you know, today, a special day. God has called everyone, you know, to this assembly today for a purpose. Because when our God calls and we hear his call and we are present, God has a message for every one of us. Whether you are here for the first time, I want to extend a special welcome to you as well. Or you have been coming here for a long time, it doesn't matter. I pray that our hearts will be open today to receive what God has got in store for us. Just imagine if there is someone is standing around the corner giving out money. How long do you think the queue will be? Free money. I know I will be the first in the line. So, but today God has got something special. Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty God, we are thankful that we are here today in this assembly to give praises, honor, thanks to your mighty name. The Bible tells us that the heavens declares the glory of God. I know sometimes at night when I look up in the sky, I see stars, and you know every single one of them by name. The Bible even tells us that you know the number of heads that's on our heads. Father, help us really understand how powerful you are, how majestic. And the Bible also tells us that you have got plans for our lives, plans to prosper us, to give us a hope and a future. Father, we pray that we can fit into your plan for our lives and not have our plans and expect you to fit into them. I pray this afternoon that you can, you know, touch every heart that's here today, that the words that will be spoken will come directly from you. We pray that every single one of us will make that connection with you. Please take away my flesh and fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Tim made an announcement about the fireproof event. We still have some cards here. And the reason why I brought this you know, to the stage is for us to understand that our God is an amazing God. I want to encourage every single member of this church to actually take a card home and just write to the occupier and drop it at your next door neighbor's house. You don't know who God is drawing. So you don't need to have somebody to come, but God can work in a miraculous way. And I remember, you know, when my wife came to church, she was met in Clapham Common, invited on the bus. And the sister that invited her never gave her a card. But we have somebody, a lodger staying with us then. He was met in East London, somewhere in Hackney. He came with a card. And when he arrived home, he was going to put the card in the bin. He said, these people, I've just come from Nigeria and they invited me to, I didn't come here for church. He was going to put it in the bin. And my wife picked it up. Came to church. Really, our life have never been the same. And I'm grateful, you know, that an invite that didn't have her name brought her to church. That was God. And God is always reaching out to people. Please, take one and see God move powerfully. The text for today will be taken from the book of John, chapter 14. I got convicted about 3 weeks ago. We're just reading through John chapter 14. And as you know, we've had a lot of messages over the past in a month or so. I remember vividly Mulligan's message about friendship. I remember Andy B's message about having a spiritual conversation with somebody. You know, I remember spiritual enrichment weekend. Obviously, that was last week. And I remember one thing that Gordon Ferguson said to the marrieds. He said, you know, you got to make the unnatural natural. What is it about me that is not natural? That I feel that, wow, this is unnatural. Which means I need to get out of my comfort zone and see God move in a powerful way. You know, I remember making a decision about 3 weeks ago that I want to be a man that wants to obey the word of God. And I remember sharing that with people in the fellowship. And I appreciate your prayers, and God has really been moving powerfully. You know, just listening to his voices and just speaking as I go along and sharing my story. It's amazing what God is doing. And I pray that you are having the same experience yourself, because we serve a faithful God. If you are into titles, the title of my message is Jesus, the Only Way, the truth, and life. John chapter 14. It reads, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know the way. We don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The word I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least, believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than this, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, I will do it." Verse 15, "If you love me, you will obey my commands." What powerful passage of scripture. Jesus started off by saying to his disciples, "Do not let your heart be troubled." Are you troubled in any way today? Just imagine Jesus is here right now. And he's saying to you, "Do not let your heart be troubled." And in fact, Jesus is here because we have, you know, the Spirit of God with us today. What is it that is troubling you? Whatever it is. I mean, I read that. I found it so comforting. Do not let your heart be troubled. Man, what a magnificent reassurance from Jesus to us today. And if you are troubled, I pray that you will see that Jesus is the way to alleviate and eliminate all your worries. You know, in the world that we live in today, people put their trust in different things. You may have even done it yourself. I know in my time I've done, you know, a lot of putting my trust, you know, in just earthly things. I remember as a teenager, you know, it was the, you know, Afro style in those days. You must have your Afro, you must have your platforms, you know, then you are it. You know, I remember just making sure that my hair is, you know, it's a shame I haven't got any photograph to show the boys, but making sure my hair is out here. And the funny thing is, whenever I go past, you know, a car, I have to look in the mirror. I'm sure some of you this day today. I have to look, you know, on the glass. How am I looking, you know, as I go along? I make sure I'm looking very well, especially, you know, when it's sports day. And you have, you know, girls coming from other schools, you know what it's like. You know, you are not just going to be, the, you know, the only one. I went to a mixed school, but, you know, secondary school days, you know what it's like. I'm going to make sure I look really, really well. I was putting my trust in that. You know, growing up again, I put in my trust, you know, in my what I can achieve for myself. Trying to work hard. I remember, you know, days I used to, you know, start work at 5 a.m. and finish at 12 every day, 7 days. There was no time for God. Thinking, yeah, 4 different jobs. I'm going to make a lot of money. You know, obviously pay my school fees, you know, do other stuff, you know, send money home. But 4 different jobs. Man, I thought that was it. Putting my trust in that. What are you putting your trust in today? I want you to understand that all those things are ephemeral. They are here today, tomorrow they are gone. The best thing we can put our trust in is in our Creator. The God that made you, the one that created you, the one that allowed you to be formed in your mother's womb. He's the one that we need to put our trust in. Jesus is kind of, you know, re-emphasizing that to us in this chapter. Trust in me. You know, he all went on to talk about, you know, being prepared. You know, the kingdom of God is for those who are prepared. How prepared are we today? Talking about preparation. I had an experience on Friday. A friend sent me, in fact, he phoned me up last week. He said, "Oh, I'm having a, you know, my birthday party at the O2 Arena. Can you come?" I said, "Yeah, I'll come." He said, "Well, you don't know exactly what we are going to be doing, but I'm glad you committed yourself first." He said, "We are going to be doing roller disco." I said, "What is that? Roller disco?" I said, "Well, I've already said yes. I can't say no anymore, you know." The Bible says, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." So if he had told me at the outset that it was going to be roller disco, I would have told you no. Okay. I said, "Okay, I'm going to go over there." And we got to this, O2. If you haven't been there lately, I'm not advertising for them because, you know, it's up to you how you spend your time. But going in there, we had to, you know, wear all these gaudy, you know, roller skates. And then I said, "How do I get on this thing?" Sometimes even, you know, when you are trying to break your shoes in, you buy brand new shoes and you're trying to break them in, sometimes you slip. This thing, how do I move with this thing? Just putting them on, I was falling over. I said, "How am I going to get on this thing, you know, on the skating floor?" He said, "Don't worry." Then one of the guys came. I said, "Before I get on there, do you have, you know, something to guard my palms?" He said, "Yes, we have that." I said, "Okay, do you have, you know, elbow pads?" He said, "Yes, we have that." I said, "Do you have, you know, knee pads?" "Yes, yes, we have that." I said, "Do you have a gum shield?" He said, "No, we don't give that here." He said, "No, we don't give that here." I said, "How about a helmet?" He said, "No, we don't give that here." I said, "I need all of those things to prepare myself to go on this floor. I don't want to be falling over and getting myself injured. Not at my age." Then he looked at me. He said, "No." He said, "You are the first person that come in here and asking for all this." I said, "Yes, I want to be well prepared." He said, "Well, you don't need all this stuff." He said, "All you need is just listen to my instructions carefully." He said, "When you put those, you know, the skates on, just, you know, bend your knees forward like that. And then don't walk as if, you know, you are wearing shoes, you know, as you're walking on your shoes. Just walk, you know, any other way different. Just don't walk as if you're wearing your normal shoes." I said, "Okay. Do we have railings?" He said, "Yeah, we have railings." I said, "Okay. I'm going to go around with the railings first, you know, just to make sure I'm fine." Anyway, then I asked my friend, we got there about 7:30. I said, "What time are we leaving here?" He said, 11 o'clock. I said, "What?" I said, "I thought it's just an hour's event." He said, "No." He said, "I'm going to be here till 11 o'clock. I said, "Okay, I don't know." Anyway, I managed to get, you know, the skates on, and they gave me the, you know, elbow pads. They ran out of knee pads. I said, "Okay. Don't worry, I will at least hold on to the rails and go around." I went around the first time. I was still kind of, you know, sliding, but thank God I had something to hold on to. But I managed to go around twice without falling over. Then this guy came. He said, "Is it your first time here?" I said, "Well, in my heart." I said, "Can't you see? Everybody else is under." Then he kind of said, "Well, you know, we have kind of an induction, you know, for people who have just come newly." I said, "I'm one of them." Then he lined us up, and he was kind of taking us through the routine, you know. And at the end of the day, I was there for about 1.5 hours. I only fell twice, which I thought was fantastic. But why am I sharing this? We need to be prepared. How prepared are you today? If today is Judgment Day, how prepared are you? I had to ask myself that question while I was going through that. And when I came out of there, I said, "Wow, this happened for a reason. For me to actually take seriously the importance of being prepared." You know, if I didn't have the skates on, they wouldn't allow me to get on the floor anyway, because I would have been an accident hazard, you know, to most people there. But the thing is, when we are thoroughly prepared, don't you feel, a little bit of confidence about you? Well, today, how do we prepare for things? If you are going to work, I'm sure we all look in the mirror, and I appreciate Tim's passage in James chapter 1. The Bible is our mirror today. You know, James 1:20, the 22 to 24. It says, do not just merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. If you look in the mirror, the word of God is supposed to change something about us. Not everything, but something about us. Just imagine if you want to get to the middle of an onion. You have to start peeling off the bag, don't you? One at a time, one at a time, one at a time. Then you reach the center. So for us to actually be the people that God wants us to be, we need to be taking some things away so that our hearts, God can get to our hearts. The word of God can penetrate our hearts. Just imagine the onion says, don't peel me. Just leave me as I am. You're going to just leave it and pick another one. Isn't that right? You know, I pray that as God wants to take some things away in our lives, that we will allow him to do the same. You know, I thought I would look at a couple of, just one passage really, in Matthew 25. You know, about people that actually prepared to meet Jesus. Matthew 25 is a parable of the 10 virgins. At that time, the kingdom of God would be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took their oil in jars along with their lamps. Verse 5. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Verse 7. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Sir, sir, they said, open the door to us. But he replied, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. You could see 10 people, 5 well prepared, the other 5 not prepared at all. I pray that everyone in this room will be, you know, one of the 5 that were adequately prepared. Amen? Jesus said in verse 6 of the book of John 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and life. Jesus is not just one of many ways. Ways lead us somewhere. Okay? But Jesus is saying here that he is the way, the truth, and the life. If you can please turn your Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read verse 13 and 14. Ways leads us somewhere. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. Description of two roads, the narrow and the wide, both leading somewhere. Do you know that in our lives we are always at a crossroad? Which direction are we going to go? The way of God or the way of Satan? There's no in between. And today is a day of decision, I believe. because we cannot procrastinate. If we keep procrastinating, then we might as well, you know, just pack it in. It's a day of decision. The narrow road, the Bible tells us, leads, you know, to eternal life. And only a few finds it. That tells me that if only a few people finds it, only a few people are really seeking. I pray that we will be among the few people that are seeking. Because when you seek, in Matthew 7, the Bible tells us, you will find. You know, our God, the Bible tells us that the eyes of God is ranging throughout the world to strengthen those who are faithfully committed to Him. I also believe God's eye is ranging throughout the world to seek out those who are really seeking Him. I pray that we will be, you know, one of those people that are truly seeking God so that we can be on the narrow road. And I remember, you know, being in traffic a few times. You know, you know what it's like. You are in an area that you don't really know that well. But you think in your mind that, you know, you can take some shortcuts and they will lead you somewhere. Especially, you know, in my student days, I was a minicab driver. So I thought, yeah, I know all the shortcuts. You know, just bring on the road. I'll find my way. That was this day as a family, we were going somewhere. I think it was somewhere in East London. I can't remember the exact place, but somewhere in London anyway. And then the traffic was terrible. I said, well, why don't we just take, you know, this road? I can't remember which member of the family was saying, let's just stay on this road. I said, I can't. I'm beginning to lose my patience. Let's just find some shortcut. Then all of a sudden, I saw this guy just turn his car, and he was going around the side road. I thought, yeah, that's it. I'm going to follow him. Okay, we're going along, going along, going along. And then he reached a cul-de-sac, and he slammed the brake on, and he parked the car, and he walked out, went to his house. In the middle of nowhere. So I had to turn my car back and came back on the road that I was on, and the queue was even longer, and I had to stay on that queue again. Ah. I followed the wrong guy. I followed the wrong road. Are you following the wrong guy today? Are you following the wrong road today? Because a lot of us in our minds, we think we have it all figured out. That this is the way that it has to be. This is the way God wants me to go. This is where God wants me to worship. I tell you something. If you go to a church where they don't talk about sin, about repentance, about baptism, about getting your life right with God, and calling you to live according to the scriptures, I think you've got to rethink again. Are you going the right way or are you going the wrong way? Because there are so many people today who are preaching a lot of gospels. Even the book of John tells us that some are preaching gospels that are really no gospel at all. They are just preaching things to line their own pockets. They are leading people astray rather than leading people to God. I want to encourage you to actually open your Bible yourself. You know, the inspiring thing for me was when Andy B preached about, you know, just having a spiritual conversation with people. I started doing that. And I remember being at Vauxhall Station one day, and as a young man, you know, I missed that train, and it was just two of us on the platform. And I sat far away. I said, maybe I need to talk to this guy. Spiritual conversation, I need to have this. I said, no. I don't know what's going on in his heart, and I don't want to disturb him. Which is the wrong thing for a disciple. We cannot assume. Because we don't know what is inside of every man. God is the one that knows. Anyway, I just picked up the courage and said, I need to speak to this man because I made a decision to my God that I am going to be an obedient disciple. And I went along, sat next to him, spoke to him. He said, yeah, you know, we had a good conversation. In fact, the next train was his train, but not mine, but I can change, you know, two stations down the road. I said, yeah, let's get in. You know, we went in, exchanged numbers. He's here today. Not only was he here to visit with us, he came with his girlfriend as well. And I sat there, I said, wow, if I did not open my mouth to speak to this guy, I would walk away feeling discouraged. Because that's a missed opportunity. I pray that every single one of us will take the opportunity that God presents to us. And I remember days, you know, applying for jobs. You know what it's like? You phone, when you're applying for jobs, you phone for a lot of, you know, different jobs. And the application form arrives. Sometimes they're overwhelming. Sometimes 10 of them can come at once. I remember looking at through that one. I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. Man, how am I? Then there was one. I said, no. Something was inside me. And I need to, you know, just apply for this one. This one. Don't throw it away. And I'm glad I listened. Even the closing date was 12 o'clock. Okay. By 11:30, I was still kind of, you know, trying to get my everything together. 10 to 12. I said, I have to send this thing now. I just need to trust God. You know, you can do it electronically. So I sent it electronically. 3 weeks later, I didn't hear anything. Closing date. Then I think it was a Wednesday. In fact, it was a Wednesday. And Helen, I think it was the men's meeting. Helen rang me from home. Said, somebody left a message on our voicemail that you have an interview the next day. I said, excuse me? That was the interview? I said, okay, amen. I have to attend. I just, you know, went through midweek. Didn't let it distract me. Then got home. Then I listened to the message again. It was that job that I actually, you know, 10 to 12. It was that job. I said, okay. And they want me to do a presentation. I said, okay. God, this is where you have to come through now. So I just, you know, said to Helen, we need to pray. I'm not going to stress myself in any way. This is God. It's going to work. So we just knelt down. We prayed. And then, I went to bed. And I woke up at 5. I said, Kai, this is time now to prepare for this interview. Every single thing that I prepared for, it was like they were playing to my hands. You know, what's your name? Remy Alaka. Where do you live? Bench. All the questions. About 10 of them. I came out of that interview. In fact, when I got to this train station, I went to the guy. I said, look, how much is the yearly pass, you know? That's how confident I was. You see, we need to be people that put our trust completely in God and follow His ways, follow His directions. You know, Jesus is the way. You know, Jesus' sacrifice is why we have, you know, the right to have a relationship with God today. There is no other religious leader that actually claims to be the way. Some of you may not know this. I came from a Muslim household. My parents are Muslim. Up to age 17, you know, I was Allahu Akbar, you know, all that kind of stuff. I was doing all of that. But studying the scriptures and obviously looking in the Quran and all that, you know, various religions around as well, there was no time that any other major religious leader said that they were the way. All they promised was a way of life. But Jesus promised a way of life and salvation. I said, yeah, see, count me in. Because I don't just want to live a good life. I want to have salvation with that as well. And you don't need to turn there. I'll read this to you. Acts 4, verse 12. The Bible tells us, salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Jesus is the only way. The truth. You know, John used the word truth 25 times in the book of John to refer to Jesus. What is truth? Remember Pilate asked the same question. What is the truth? You know, you can only find the truth in Jesus Christ because He is the only way to God. The true meaning of life can be found in Jesus. And in John 8, verse 31 and 32, Jesus said to those who believe me, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free from what? Free from sin. Free from sinful way of life. Knowing the truth about Jesus set us free. What about those who don't hold on to that teaching? They will not know the truth. And the truth will not set them free. They still be the way they are. They will continue in their sins. They live a miserable life like I was living. And when you die, you are not going to see God. You are going to be, the person will be in hell. I don't want to go to hell. And I pray that none of us in here will want to go to hell. I pray that all of us will make it to heaven. Because that is God's plan for our lives. But it takes something, action on our part. Just imagine the guy was telling me to do this, and I'm doing that, I'm trying to do style. I'm going to be rolling all over the place. They probably put me on YouTube as well, you know. You have to follow the instructions as they are given. Jesus is saying, hold to my teachings. Put my word into practice. I am the source of life. If you believe in me, you will have everything. You will do greater things that I have done. More powerful stuff. Jesus is the life. So the term life is found 36 times in the Gospel of John. Talking about the life we now live, and obviously the life afterwards, when our time on earth expires. You might want to write this down for reference in John 10:10. Jesus said, the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come so they may have life and have it to the full. Not half measure, but have life to the full. You know, from time to time, you know, you go to, I'm not advocating people go to pub, but I occasionally, meet friends. And I remember this particular day, I don't think they are, what do you call it? Okay, the pump. It wasn't really working properly. And I already paid for, lager shandy to mix it with shandy, so that it will not be too strong for me because I can't handle some of this stuff. And he gave me half. I said, excuse me, I did not pay for half. If I want half, I will have asked for half pint. Can you please make sure you give me a full cup? The guy looked at me. He said, but the thing is not working. I said, well, I paid for a full one. If you're going to give me half, then charge me half price so that I can have my money back. It's not my fault. What about you? What will you do? You go to a shop, you give someone, £50, you bought something, £20, and they gave you £10 change. I'm sure I'm going to stay there and get my full change. You see, Jesus is promising life in full. Not half measure. Not shortchanging you. But give you the whole thing in full. Whose fault is it if we do not enjoy that life in full? It's our fault, guys. That's God's plan for our lives. In John 10, 28, it says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hands. Eternal life is Christ's gift to those who obey his teachings. My first point, how well do you know Jesus? In John 14, I read from verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time. Thomas and Philip had been with Jesus, according to Jesus, for such a long time, and yet did not know him. The length of time we've been around Jesus is irrelevant. We could be with Jesus 20, 50, it is irrelevant. If our heart is not connected with Jesus, you might as well forget it. We'll just be showing up in the flesh. When the heart is not connected, you see, Christianity is a religion of the heart. It's not a religion of outward appearance. And if you read Matthew 23, Jesus really went into the Pharisees. Because they were all about showing their outward appearance. They want the place of honor. You know, their phylactery will be as long as anything. They really want the show. On the outside, they look perfect. But on the inside, they were rotting away. Don't allow outward appearance to deceive you. Let the inside be what you are concerned about. Sometimes, I know for myself, I find it hard. Studying the Bible and repenting of certain things, to be honest, those things were challenging. But compared to what I'm going through right now, in terms of relationships, those things were minor. Because the true test of a Christian is when your character is being questioned. When I say questioned, being challenged by the Word of God. Pride, arrogance, gossip, deceit. Man, all these are challenging stuff. When we were studying the Bible or you look in the Word, you say, yeah, I'm going to overcome them. But the truth is, if we do not overcome them at the elementary stage, at the early stage, no matter how long we have been walking with Jesus, they will always come out again. So whatever it is that you are going through right now, I pray that you surrender today. Because if you don't, it will continue to plague you. It will continue to hurt you. It will continue to make you feel uncomfortable. It will continue to make you wonder, why is everyone going past me? You know, I've been around, but people are doing stuff. Why am I still here? Why am I transfixed? I went through such a stage myself. I got baptized 25th of April, 1989. And we had our son, you know, James, the same year. And then 1991, 2 years after, I see, I haven't really changed that much. Really, from the first day up until then, 2 years, nothing has changed. I was still, you know, coming late to things, you know, making excuses not to be, all the reasons for me not to be fully effective as a disciple. Then one of the brothers, I might have shared this before, Brian Miller, he challenged me. He said, brother, when I see you on that pitch of play, you are passionate about football. But I don't see that passion in your Christian life. Then I got home. I looked at my two-year-old son. He was running around. He was feeding himself. He was doing things. And I said, wow, there's something here God wants to show me. If he had not changed for 2 years, I would be looking for the best doctor in town. And that was when I made a decision. I said, no way, Jose. There has to be some internal changes to equate, you know, to my son's physical changes. What is holding you back now today, guys? You see, God wants us to run this race. The race that God has got mapped out for us. No wonder James is a runner today. Amen. That just came out. God has got race mapped out for us. But if we have something tied around your ankle, you are not going to run that race fast. What is it that is holding you back? I had to let go. I had to sit down with people, discipling. Can I say something about discipling? It's what has helped me to be who I am today. I know we went through a time when discipling was not the word to use. I've spoken to the brother several times. I want to get discipled because I cannot see everything about myself. I need people to give me input in my life. I don't write reports. That's the great thing about local authority. No matter how great my reports are, I can't just pass it to the director or send it to members of the public. My boss has to read them. Sometimes, you know, she, oh, this is fine, nothing to add. Other times she say, well, you know, you might want to think about this, you know. Who are the audience? To give me perspective. But when it comes to our spiritual life, we don't want perspective. Somebody is telling us something, we say, nah. Helen and I did a survey about a year ago. We sent our questionnaire to marriage that, you know, were in the first cohort and second cohort of the dynamic marriage class. So how many of you have disciples? Nearly everybody that returned the questionnaire said no. How many of you want to be discipled? Guess how many? Guess how many? All of them without no exception. And that cost us to put on the paper together, which we'll be sharing with the marriage at some stage. We all know that we need other people's input in our lives to be the best that we can be. These guys, Thomas, been around Jesus, didn't even know him. You know, we have examples of various people in the Bible who were with Jesus just for a short time, and they knew him. Zacchaeus is one of them. The Ethiopian eunuch is another one. When Jesus confronted, Philip confronted him with the message of Jesus, say, who is this person talking about? Himself or someone else? Even in the book of Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached to 3,000 people, to over 3,000 people, 3,000 people that were there, they asked a question. They said, brother, what shall we do? You see, it's not a matter of how long or how short. It's an issue of the heart. If our hearts are in the right places, we will definitely, you know, be in tune with God. Second point, be honest with where you are at. How are you, bro? I'm doing great. But really, you are not doing great. How are you, sister? I'm doing fine. But really, you are not doing fine. What's wrong with us actually telling each other how we feel inside? Be honest with where you are at. I don't want to be too hard on Philip and Thomas, but one thing we must say about them, they were honest. They admitted that they did not even know Jesus after being with him for such a long time. And Jesus was able to explain to them. You know, Zacchaeus was honest. When Jesus said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. My house, I'm going to give half of everything that I own. And then he was going to give another portion to anyone that he owed money. Instant repentance, knowing that his way, the way he was going, wasn't the right way, and he had the opportunity to meet Jesus, he changed course and wanted to do the right thing. The 31 eunuch, very religious, left Ethiopia to go to Jerusalem to worship. On his way back, was reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. I know what I will be doing on my way back. I'll probably be sleeping. I'll be exhausted and tired. But this guy on his way back was reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And Philip came to him. Do you know what you are reading? No, unless someone explains it to me. Again, guys, it's not how long we have been in a church. It's not how long we think we have been with God. You know, I was speaking to a guy. He said, I was born, you know, in a Christian household. You know, yeah. I said, okay, great. So when did you become a follower of Jesus? Ah, since I was a boy. I said, okay. So if your dad is a lawyer, does that make you a lawyer? Oh, no. So you have to study it out yourself to be a lawyer? Same way, we have to study out the scriptures to understand what Jesus is calling us to. We cannot become Christians, real disciples of Christ, by osmosis. It doesn't just happen like that. We are adults that can reason with the scriptures. You know, I have a work colleague, love plants. If that plant had been kept with me, it would be dead in a week. But somebody who was struggling with looking after plant at home brought a plant to work. She said, I'm going to look after this. Every morning, just watering it. In 3 weeks, the plant started flowering. Then I had to call her. I said, look, you have done something that challenged my heart. She said, what is that? I said, every morning, Monday to Friday, you feed this plant. It was dying. In 3 weeks, it's changed. I said, there's something for me to learn here. I said, daily reading the Word of God can actually resurrect our spirit. I want to encourage us to read the Word of God daily because it wets our hearts. It helps us to see ourselves and to be who God wants us to be. See, the truth about Jesus is to believe that He is the way. He is the Lamb that was sacrificed once and for all for our sins. If you are visiting with us today, I want to encourage you to get with somebody that invited you to church today, or a friend of a friend, whatever, that is in here today, and ask to study the Bible so that you can find out for yourself whether what the Bible says is how you understood Christianity to be. Because the Bereans had an attitude. The Bible tells us the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians. They examined the scriptures. My invitation to you today is, don't just walk away from here. That was a great service. The people were great. Ask the question, what must I do to understand the Bible even better? And as a result, I believe God will bless, you know, your decision. I hope today I've been able to convince you that Jesus is the way, that Jesus is the truth, that Jesus is the life. And when we come to Jesus, two things we must do. First of all, we need to be honest with where we are at. You know, and the second thing, we need to, you know, just take His teachings and apply them to our lives. Thank you for listening. And let's have a final song. And let's pray before we have a final song. Father, we thank you for today. We truly want to lift your name up on high. We want to, bring ourselves before you. And the things that you have spoken to our hearts today, that you will help us to fan it into flame, that the evil one will not, you know, take them away from us. We know that Satan is a liar. He's a master of lies. He masquerades as an angel of light. He calls things that are not as if they are. Father, we pray that you open our eyes to see his schemes, that you allow us, Lord, to allow your word to penetrate our hearts so that we can be able to live lives that you want us to live, life to the full, not half measure, but life to the full. Thank you for today. I pray in your son's name. Amen.